In Arkansas, a teenager accused of second-degree murder of a Juneau man has been released on $40,000 bond. 17-year-old Timothy Norwood is one of three teenagers charged in the death of 19-year-old Kevin Thornton of Juneau. Norwood is the second teenager in the case to be released to his parents months after being arrested and held at an Arkansas juvenile facility. Bond for 18-year-old Richard Weibark was set at $40,000 in December and posted in February when he was released to his father at that time. The judge indicated Norwood and Clinton Ross, age 17 years old, would also be eligible for release at some point. No notice has been given as to when Ross might be released. The court is considering motions to transfer the case from adult to juvenile court and try each boy separately. The man accused of the murder of Anchorage barista Samantha Koenig leaped a courtroom railing yesterday afternoon and had to be wrestled to the floor. Israel Keyes was not handcuffed at the time and somehow broke his leg irons. Deputy marshals used a taser to subdue him, and he was handcuffed then. The incident occurred about the time that Keyes' lawyer was talking about the timing of the trial. Keyes is accused of kidnapping Koenig from a Midtown Anchorage coffee stand and killing her. Some Southeast Native leaders are relieved that the latest redistricting plan was thrown out in court. Tuesday's action by the Alaska Supreme Court restored a Native influence district in the region. It includes Haines, Angoon, Hoona, Cake, Kasan, Klawak, Saxman, and Metlakatla. The Alaska Federation of Natives, the Alaska Native Brotherhood, Sea Alaska Corporation, and the Central Council of Tlingit and Haida Indian Tribes of Alaska had protested the rejected plan. Ed Thomas is president of the Central Council.
The representation from rural communities is very important because their challenges are increasing instead of getting any better. So it's very important to have a voice on the state legislature from our villages.
The rejected plan released just last week would have put Haines and Juneau's Mendenhall Valley in the same House district. That would have pitted incumbent Juneau Republican Kathy Munoz and incumbent Haines Republican Bill Thomas against each other. Thomas, who is Tlingit, had spent several terms representing most of the region's small cities and villages. Both redistricting plans set up a hard race for the Southeast senior Tlingit lawmaker, Angoon Democratic Senator Albert Kukesh. Angoon will be in the same Senate district as Sitka Republican Bert Stebbins. He co-chairs the powerful Senate Finance Committee, and Kukesh has said he expects an uphill battle. Thomas of the Central Council worries about the overall loss of Native representation.
I have to say that with redistricting, we really end up losing a rural voice no matter what we do. So we got to do our best to really have a better mixture.
The region's redistricting plan is only in place for the 2012 election. It also sets up a race between incumbent Republican Representative Kyle Johansson of Ketchikan and Peggy Wilson of Wrangell. Population shifts have reduced Southeast Alaska's current legislative seats to six. Meanwhile, some plaintiffs in the Alaska redistricting lawsuit have asked the state Supreme Court to halt implementation of the plan until the U.S. Department of Justice rules on it. Attorney Michael Wallery filed the motion to stay the court's ruling Tuesday. The Fairbanks North Star Borough joined in the motion. The motion says the state should have had federal preclearance, that is, the Justice Department rules that the plan conforms to the Voting Rights Act. That could take 60 days once the plan is filed with the Department of Justice. The State Division of Elections will be using the new maps in the August primary and the November general election. The motion argues that implementing the political districts prior to preclearance violates the Voting Rights Act. Juneau's mill levy and property taxes may end up staying the same for next year. City Manager Kim Kiefer says the Assembly Finance Committee last night set the operational mill levy for the next fiscal year.
And they are forwarding to the Assembly on June 4th a recommendation of the operational mill levy be set at 9.26. So that's a reduction from what was submitted when the budget was submitted at the beginning of April. So it keeps it consistent with what that operational mill rate is for this year at 9.26.
Combined with the rate of 1.29 already set for debt service, that's a total of 10.55 mills for the next fiscal year starting July 1st. That means $1,055 of property taxes for every $100,000 of assessed property value. And Kiefer says that essentially means no change from the current fiscal year.
This year, the operational mill levy is 9.26. The debt service is 1.29. So the total is 10.55.
The operational mills provide the revenue for everyday city and borough spending. The mill levy specifically allocated for debt service funds the principal and interest on bonds issued by the CBJ for such projects as school renovation. Senate Foreign Relations Committee Chairman John Kerry announced at a hearing yesterday that he will bring up the United Nations Convention on the Law of the Sea Treaty this year. Both of Alaska senators strongly support treaty ratification, but as APRN's Peter Granitz reports, Kerry will wait until after the November election to bring it to a vote.
Top Obama administration officials have been urging the Senate to take up the 30-year-old treaty for weeks, and the Senate has now officially begun what will be a long process. The first of several committee hearings on the treaty featured the nation's top security brass, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, Secretary of Defense Leon Panetta, and Chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff General Martin Dempsey. The treaty, which more than 160 countries have ratified, regulates shipping routes and deep-sea mining. It enjoys broad support from business groups like the Chamber of Commerce to environmental ones like the Natural Resources Defense Council. And because of that swath of support, Secretary Clinton took the unusual step of using her opening remarks to needle opponents of the pact who say it infringes on U.S. sovereignty.
Well, the fact that a treaty was negotiated under the auspices of the United Nations, which is, after all, a convenient gathering place for the countries of the world, has not stopped us from joining agreements that are in our interests. We are party to dozens of agreements negotiated under the UN auspices.
Secretary Clinton says those focus on commerce, telecommunications, and defense. That last reason is why Secretary Panetta is making the pitch. He says the treaty expands the sovereignty of the United States in such a size and way not seen since the country grew to include the West and Alaska. Secretary Panetta says that as the U.S. Navy is facing a myriad of ongoing issues, from turmoil in the South China Sea to an increased global presence in the Arctic, it will need to form partnerships with other countries to ease the burden, and that's where the treaty comes in.
160 nations have acceded to it, and we say to hell with them, we're not going to participate in that, then 160 nations are going to determine what happens in terms of the law of the sea, and we won't be there.
Only the Senate can ratify a treaty, and right now there are at least a couple dozen skeptical Republican senators. Senator Kerry, a vocal supporter, says moving the vote on the treaty until after the election will remove an important global pact away from the toxic political climate. But if the hearing is an indication, maybe it won't. Idaho Senator Jim Risch read a segment of the treaty that he interprets as global environmental standards, something he'd like to work around.
After this is adopted by Congress or by the Senate, if it is, how we're going to get around the fact that we have agreed that we will adopt these laws and regulations.
Ideological disagreements on regulation won't be resolved by November 6th, but moving the vote provides more working room. Kerry says he'll hold hearings with industries that support the pact and top military personnel. That could pit Republican holdouts against groups they typically get along quite well with. And moving the vote past the election gives two key senators a little more time to sway the skeptics, Republicans Dick Lugar and Alaska's Lisa Murkowski. Those two supporters will have to convince a fair number of their own party to hop on, because the treaty needs 67 votes to pass. And even if they think they can get the votes, they'll need to make the argument that the treaty is worth time in a lame duck session that's guaranteed to be packed from beginning to end. In Washington, D.C., I'm Peter Granitz.
And now a story we hope to bring you a few moments ago while we're on the subject of redistricting. Petersburg will ask the Alaska Supreme Court to reconsider its decision on redistricting. The city council made that decision after consulting with its attorney in a special meeting late yesterday. Matt Lichtenstein has more on that.
Petersburg officials were disappointed, to say the least, that the state's high court chose to go with an earlier version of the redistricting board's plan, one that puts the town in a legislative district with downtown Juneau, Gustavus, and Skagway. Petersburg City Council has repeatedly objected to being included in a district with Juneau. It maintains that the rural fishing town does not have enough in common with the much larger capital city, which is more dependent on government and tourism. Petersburg was happy with the latest southeast map, which had put it in a district with Sitka, Wrangell, Angoon, Hoonah, Cake, and many other smaller communities. After the court rejected that plan, the council called its attorney, Tom Klinkner, to see what more the town could do. The options were limited.
Basically, the only recourse that a party has in this kind of situation is to file what's known as a motion for reconsideration or rehearing. And this is a motion that's addressed totally to the court's discretion. And it says, basically, hey, court, we think you overlooked an important point in making your decision. Would you please take another look at it?
The Alaska Supreme Court's approval of the earlier plan was a reversal from its previous ruling, which found the southeast portion of that plan out of compliance with the state constitution and ordered it redrawn. However, in its latest decision, the court said it rejected the new southeast map because it had received numerous objections. That included concerns from Native organizations and communities that argued, among other things, that the changes diluted the influence of Native voters in southeast, contrary to U.S. law. While the court acknowledged the reconfigured districts may comply with state constitutional requirements, it said there was a risk the federal government might not clear the changes under the Federal Voting Rights Act. That, the court said, would come so late in the 2012 election cycle that a great disruption to the election process would result. Klinkner pointed out that this plan only applies to the 2012 elections. The court still has to decide on a redistricting plan for 2014 and beyond. Petersburg councilors were frustrated that the Supreme Court was temporarily implementing a plan that it could end up rejecting in the long term, Mayor Pro Tem Mark Jensen.
So 2 years into our senator's term, what do they do then if they redraw the map? I mean, how do they cut a senator's term in half for half part of a Senate district? I don't get it. That's just as disruptive to me as it is to, you know, worry about the A Department of Justice taking a risk, is what it says in the Juneau Empire. It says there is a risk. Well, being from Petersburg, I'm willing to take the risk to see if the Department of Justice leaves it like it is with the map drawn on the 15th.
Jensen was referring to the latest southeast map that Petersburg had supported, but the court rejected. The six counselors present voted unanimously to have the attorney file a motion to reconsider with the Alaska Supreme Court. In Petersburg, I'm Matt Lichtenstein.